The first reading is taken from Daniel chapter 2, starting at verse 1. In the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar had dreams. His spirit was troubled, and his sleep left him. Then the king commanded that the magicians, the enchanters, the sorcerers, and the Chaldeans be summoned to tell the king his dreams. So they came in and stood before the king. And the king said to them, "I had a dream, and my spirit is troubled to know the dream." Then the Chaldeans said to the king in Aramaic, "O king, live forever. Tell your servants the dream, and we will show you the interpretation." The king answered and said to the Chaldeans, "The word from me is firm. If you do not make known to me the dream and its interpretation, you shall be torn limb from limb, and your houses shall be laid in ruins. But if you show the dream and its interpretation, you shall receive from me gifts and rewards and great honor. Therefore, show me the dream and its interpretation." The Chaldeans answered the king and said, "There is not a person on earth who can meet the king's demand, for no great and powerful king has asked such a thing of any magician or enchanter or Chaldean. The thing that the king asks is difficult, and no one can show it to the king except the gods, whose dwelling is not with flesh." Because of this, the king was angry and very furious and commanded that all the wise men of Babylon be destroyed. So the decree went out, and the wise men were about to be killed, and they sought Daniel and his companions to kill them. Then Daniel replied with prudence and discretion to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, who'd gone out to kill the wise men of Babylon. He declared to Arioch, the king's captain, "Why is the decree of the king so urgent?" Then Arioch made the matter known to Daniel, and Daniel went in and requested the king to appoint him a time that he might show the interpretation to the king. Then Daniel went to his house and made the matter known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, and told them to seek mercy from the God of heaven concerning this mystery, so that Daniel and his companions might not be destroyed with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Then the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a vision of the night. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, "Blessed be the name of God for ever and ever, to whom belong wisdom and might. He changes times and seasons. He removes kings and sets up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. He reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what is in the darkness, and the light dwells with him. To you, O God of my ancestors, I give praise, thanks, and praise, for you have given me wisdom and might, and have now made known to me what we asked of you, for you have made known to us the king's matter." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The second reading is taken from Luke chapter 10, starting at verse 17. The 72 returned with joy, saying, "Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name." And Jesus said to them, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." In that same hour, he rejoiced in the Holy Spirit and said, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows who the Son is except the Father, or who the Father is except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him." Then, turning to the disciples, he said privately, Blessed are the eyes that see what you see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Wherever you're tuning in, let's pray together. Father, we come to you in the name of your Son, asking you to grant us today the light of your wisdom. For only in your light can we see light, and only in your can we live according to the pattern of your Son, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. We continue in our series through the book of Daniel, and Daniel is one of the few books of exile that's found in the Bible. So the books of exile are examples like Esther, Ezekiel, and Lamentations, some parts of Jeremiah, and some parts of the minor prophets. Now what's unique about Daniel is that its narrative spans through at least five different imperial administrations. The various regimes that changed and washed over the political landscape. And with God's covenant people, particularly Daniel and his three friends, caught in the waves. As God's people navigated through the waters of their pagan subjugation, they looked to the book of Daniel as their North Star, as they considered what it meant to be faithful, what it meant to be faithful to God. In exile, far from Jerusalem, with no temple, no priesthood, no sacrifices, surrounded by an indifferent and even hostile world, sitting and waiting in the gray areas of life for a very, very long time. It's the same for us today, Christians, the church today. We Christians are now also having to sit, are having to wait for a very, very long time in the gray areas of this secular, liberal, democratic society that we're in, that has grown indifferent, that has grown even unfriendly towards Western institutional religion. If anything, the figures of Daniel and his friends, they're like buoys. They're like buoys in the shifting waters, landmarks of God's faithfulness and his supremacy over empires and nations. As the tectonic plates underneath us shift and collide, as governments rise and fall, as eras ebb and flow, God sits enthroned, unmoved, in heaven above. So today we look at the first half of chapter 2 in Daniel. We will see first how God disturbs us. And then second, how God delivers us. In our reading, we will encounter the God who disturbs us and the God who delivers us. So if you have your bulletin with you or your Bibles with you, let's turn now to chapter 2 of Daniel. So the setting begins during the early reign of Babylonian Emperor Nebuchadnezzar. So one evening he became troubled because a series of dreams had disturbed him. It was the same recurring dream, as it were, so he could not sleep. And what made matters worse is that he could not remember the dream. He could not know the details of it. Now, in the ancient Near East, disturbing dreams that a person had forgotten were considered terrible omens that had come from the gods. So Nebuchadnezzar was inwardly disturbed by a dream he could not describe nor remember. Now, this is the richest and most powerful man at the time, now feeling insecure in his innermost being. So how did he deal with it? He flexed his power. Nebuchadnezzar took his insecurity and his fear out on others so that he can feel in control again. As we will see throughout the book of Daniel, Nebuchadnezzar is someone with greatest power who is both volatile and insecure. And so he summoned the cohort of magicians, enchanters, and sorcerers, which is his council of advisors. And Nebuchadnezzar then assumed the place of a god He put on himself the divine authority to execute judgment on them with either reward or punishment. He demanded from them the absurd, the impossible. If his counsel could not describe and interpret the dream for him, they were all to be drawn and quartered, torn from limb to limb, and their homes and families destroyed. That greatly disturbed his counsel. Their response in verse 10 and 11 was their last resort. There's not a person on earth who can meet the king's demand. The thing that the king asks is difficult. No one can show it to the king except the gods, whose dwelling is not with flesh. And at this, Nebuchadnezzar orders for the immediate execution of everyone in the council. See, that was a reckless, unjust, an oppressive decision of a man in power against those who are powerless. Even Daniel and his friends got entangled in it when they found out. They too were greatly disturbed by the insanity of the decision. So everyone so far in our story are greatly disturbed. Everyone is greatly disturbed. Nebuchadnezzar, greatly disturbed by an ominous dream he had forgotten. Council of advisors, Daniel and his friends, greatly disturbed by the insane injustice thrown upon them. Both the powerful and the powerless, greatly disturbed. In the recent weeks, we find ourselves disturbed to various degrees by current events and news. Even as restrictions are easing, we face the fallout, the aftermath of the pandemic. There's an uncertainty about a second wave in Canada. And the world we're emerging into is still encrusted with the ancient and stubborn gunk of violence, injustice, division, indifference. And we are rightly disturbed. And because we're disturbed, we cannot sleep, we cannot rest, we are not at ease. We are much awake to the reality of our own brokenness and to the brokenness of our world. It is God who disturbs us. He pokes, he prods us, keeping our eyes from closing in sleep to what's really going on around us, behind us, and beyond us. He shakes up the snow globe of our lives so that we can look up and peer through the glass casing. See, in the book of Job, we read from one of the characters named Elihu testifying that God does speak, though no one perceives it. In a dream, in a vision of the night when deep sleep falls on people, as they sleep in their beds, he may speak in their ears and terrify them in warnings. And to what purpose? To turn them from the wrongdoing, keep them from pride, to preserve them from the pit, their lives from perishing by the sword. Now back in our reading, Nebuchadnezzar, for him, his snow globe of all earthly power and authority was shaken up suddenly by a terrible dream. His council of advisors, their snow globe of pagan theology, their natural sciences, their scholarship was rattled by what they had not predicted. For Daniel and his friends, the snow globe of their exile as Jewish POWs was pierced through by God's divine intervention and favor. And much in the same way, the disruptions and interruptions of our lives, like this pandemic, or the ongoing wake-up call to racial injustice, everything that shakes up the snow globes of our lives wakes us up to the greater transcendent reality, to what's fundamental, to what's necessary, to remind us that the way things are right now should not be. It is God who disturbs us. But God does not just leave us disturbed or terrified or shaken up. He doesn't just leave us there. He delivers us. He delivers us from being encased forever in our snow globes, from descending deeper into our sleep, from being mummified in our own dreams and illusions. God disturbs us in order to deliver us from all that haunts our souls, from all that assaults our lives. It is God who disturbs and delivers us. See, when Nebuchadnezzar was disturbed, he responded unjustly. He had the power to abuse others. When his council of advisors were disturbed, they were helpless. They were speechless. Despite their trade, they did not resort to their magic arts or to offer sacrifices to their gods for insight or for revelation. But when Daniel and his friends were disturbed, they came together, they turned to God for mercy. In verses 17 and 18, Daniel and his friends turned to God, presumably in fasting and prayer, to inquire him concerning Nebuchadnezzar's dream. And then God intervened. He revealed the mystery to Daniel in a nightly vision. God showed up, as it were, to rescue everyone in a miraculous way. At this, Daniel offered to God a doxology from verse 20 onwards. Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, to whom belong wisdom and might. He changes times and seasons. He removes kings and sets up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. He reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what is in the darkness, and the light dwells with him. Now, there are two things we can glean from this doxology. One, it's a sneak peek to what Daniel discovered in the vision, but that will be for next Sunday's reflection. But the second thing is this. Notice that Daniel did not praise God because he rescued everyone from the king's anger. He did not praise God because of that. That reason alone is worth praising God. But Daniel never even mentioned it in his doxology. That God, I praise you because you rescued us from the wrath of Nebuchadnezzar. See, there was something bigger that caught Daniel's attention. See, from the vision, Daniel became aware suddenly of God's control over all earthly powers and God's copyright of all truth, wisdom, and knowledge. All earthly powers are derivative to God's, and all truth and wisdom property. This perspective changed everything for Daniel. See, his list of priorities shifted suddenly. The whole situation was no longer about just his life or his friend's life or the life of the council or even about the king or the Babylonian Empire or even about the Jewish exile. See, their current predicament mattered very little in relation to the transcendent reality of God's sovereignty and wisdom over all earthly events. Now, what does this have to deal with God's deliverance? How does this relate to God delivering us? See, the divine deliverance, then, the rescue from evil and harm and pain and suffering, as true as important as that is, deliverance is twofold. Just like repentance, we are delivered from in order to be delivered to. It's not delivery unless it's from one place to another. I mean, so what if we are delivered from this pandemic, but don't emerge with greater faith and trust in God? So what if we're delivered from disease, from financial trouble, from relational breakdown, from all the evil and pain in life, but end up not extending our bodies, our time, our resources to bless others, to rely on God's wisdom for the rest of our lives? So what? Some of us are praying to God for a miraculous deliverance, for divine intervention. Our situations are dire, and we want God to show up in a special way. God may or may not deliver us the way he did for the people in our reading. We may not get any special insight or revelation about a decision that we should make or a glimpse into the future that we are so unsure about that we're afraid to face. But this is what we do know. This is what we do know. A mystery has been revealed to us. The mystery that is unveiled from which requires our immediate response. In our reading from Luke, Jesus, in like fashion to Daniel, he offered God a doxology. If you look with me in the Gospel of Luke in verse 21, Jesus prayed to God, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father. Supreme control. And no one knows who the Son is except the Father, who the Father is except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. This is true wisdom. This is true revelation, control and wisdom, converging in Jesus Christ. Jesus made clear to his followers that he is one greater than Daniel. And contrary to what the magicians, to the enchanters and sorcerers said, there is a God. There is a God whose dwelling is with flesh. Jesus took on our flesh and then unveiled to us the mysteries of God. And this is the mystery revealed to us. Jesus. Jesus is in control of everything. Jesus owns everything. He owns the copyright to all truth, wisdom, and knowledge. Who alone will appraise between light and darkness the questions from the answers, the truth from the false? Despite how many things in our lives are uncertain, foggy, or even messed up, what has been made clear to us in Jesus and what he's inviting us to see, he is in control of everything. And that the purposes and definitions and the meanings of everything all converge in his person. He will make sense of everything. Now, do we believe this? Do I believe this? Do you believe this? Are we daily measuring our lives and our decisions against this transcendent reality of Jesus' supremacy and wisdom? Does our list of priorities shift in the face of this transcendent reality? See, Jesus is inviting us to look past the stained and scratched up glass dome of this earthly snow globe. Because he will soon break the glass to mix our atmosphere with that of heavens. He will infuse the earth with paradise, and everything that is sad will become untrue. Everything absurd will be unknotted. Everything that is lost will be restored. The seeming endless winter inside this snow globe is only temporary. There is a bigger world beyond the frosted globe. An eternal spring shall soon come. Jesus said, "Blessed are the eyes that see what you see. For I tell you that many prophets, many kings and sages desired to see what you see, and did not see it, to hear what you hear, yet did not hear it." See, we are given this insight as a gift. Not because we're smarter than everyone else or more deserving than others, but it's because Jesus chose to reveal it to us. He chose to share it to us out of his mercy, out of his love for the world. Out of his love for you and me. See past the frosted glass of our world. See the coming world that will consume us all in all joy and glory. See, God is constantly disturbing, shaking the snow globes of our lives. He's keeping the snow from piling up on our eyes, piling up on our bodies. He disturbs us to wake us, to grab our attention, so that he may deliver us. Delivering us from the dreams and illusions of our mortal grandeur. Delivering us to the transcendent reality of his control and his copyright of all things. Blessed be the name of Jesus, forever and ever, to whom belong wisdom and power. He changes the times, the seasons. He removes politicians. He sets up leaders. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. He reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what is in the darkness, and the light dwells with him. Trust in his sovereignty and his control. Trust in his wisdom and his leading. Trust that if you are disturbed or disrupted in your life, perhaps He is delivering us from the illusion of the snow globe of our lives. Trust in His disruption and in His deliverance. Trust in Him. Amen.
You've just listened to a podcast from Little Trinity Church in Toronto. Please check out our website at www.littletrinity.org to find out more about our ministries and services.